So we have gathered on the most auspicious day, on the sacred date of Sri Radhashtami. The Vedic literatures describe that Krishna is the absolute truth. He is the Supreme Lord and the origin of all that be. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all, although he himself has no origin. And he is the prime cause of all causes. The Brahma Sanghita further explains that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and he expands himself into various plenary portions and portions of plenary portions. But still, Krishna is the supreme original personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. The Brahma Sanghita gives the example that if you have one candle, from the one candle you can light a second candle, from the second candle you can light a third candle, from the third candle you can light a fourth candle, and all may be of the same candle power, but still there is one original candle. So in the same way, Krishna expands himself into so many incarnations, and they all have the full powers of Godhead. But still, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And his first expansion is Balaram. But just as Krishna expands on the side of the all-powerful personalities of Godhead, he also expands himself on the side of the power of the all-powerful personality of Godhead. The direct expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the expansions of the energy of the Lord are called Shakti Tattva. And the first expansion on the side of the energy is Srimati Radharani. And from Srimati Radharani, all of the gopis are expanded, all of the queens in Dwarka are expanded, all of the consorts of the Lord in various incarnations are expanded from Srimati Radharani. So Sita in Sitaram is expanded from Srimati Radharani. Lakshmi in Lakshmi Narayan is expanded from Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is the origin of all of the expansions of Krishna's energy. And Srimati Radharani, or the energy of Krishna, also has indirect expansions which are called the material energy. Srimati Radharani is the personification of the spiritual energy, and Durga is the personification of the material energy. But Durga herself is an indirect expansion of Srimati Radharani. So we are also expansions of Krishna. And we are the marginal potency of Krishna. Krishna basically has three energies, the spiritual energy, the material energy, and the marginal energy. And we, the living entities, are called the marginal energy because we can come under the influence either of the spiritual energy, who is personified as Srimati Radharani, or under the material energy, who is personified as Durga Devi. We can see the image of Srimati Radharani standing with her right hand in benediction to bless the devotees. And Durga, if we see the image of Durga, she has 10 hands with 10 weapons to punish the miscreants. And unfortunately, to some degree or other, all of us are miscreants, and therefore we are in the prison house of the material world. And Durga Devi is the warden of the prison house, and she punishes the conditioned souls with her different weapons in her different hands. And especially Durga Devi is known for her trident, her trishul, and the three prongs of the trident represent the threefold miseries of material existence, the miseries that we suffer because of other living entities, the miseries that we suffer because of acts of nature, and the miseries we suffer from our own bodies and minds. So the goal of life is to transfer ourselves from the control of the external energy or the material energy to the control of the spiritual energy or Srimati Radharani. And because we are marginal, we can come under the control of either. Srila Prabhupada has explained the marginal position and compared it to the seaside. Sometimes when the tide is low, the area is part of the land, and sometimes when the tide is high, the same area is submerged under the water and becomes part of the ocean. So similarly, we can also be either part of the spiritual world under Srimati Radharani's protection or part of the material world. So I've selected one verse from Bhagavad Gita to read that will give us a practical idea on our own level and in our own position how we can take shelter of Srimati Radharani and come under her protection. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 13. Mahatmana tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashitaha bhajanti ananya manasau gyatva Bhuta Adim Avyayam Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha Prajantyananya Manaso Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. So here, the definition of Mahatma is given, that the Mahatmas are under the protection of the divine nature, or the spiritual nature, who is personified by Srimati Radharani. Once, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in Bombay, one of the leaders of one of the probably the most prominent Hindu organization in India came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada that how is it that India, which is a land of so many Mahatmas, has so many problems? Because in principle, the presence of Mahatmas should remove the problems. So he was asking, how is it that India, which boasts so many Mahatmas, has so many problems? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the reason India has so many problems is that you cannot distinguish between who is a Mahatma and who is not a Mahatma. And here, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, the supreme authority, gives the definition of the Mahatma. And he's under the protection of the spiritual energy, and he is always engaged in the devotional service of Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, and the original source of all incarnations, the prime cause of all causes. So obviously, India and every part of the world and every part of the universe needs more Mahatmas. And how do we get more Mahatmas? One can become a Mahatma through the association of another Mahatma. When we read the definition of a Mahatma, certainly anyone who knows even a little about Srila Prabhupada can understand that he was a Mahatma, or a great soul. And all of the Vedic scriptures, in many places, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered the supreme authority among Vedic scriptures advise that one should serve Mahatmas to become freed from the clutches of material nature. And Srila Prabhupada was always engaged in the service of Lord Krishna. As we read in the next verse, Satyatam Kirtayanto Mam, always engaged in chanting the glories of Krishna. That is a further definition of the Mahatma. So by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, who has taken shelter of his spiritual master, one ultimately takes shelter of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. And that is the process, parampara. And the same process exists in the spiritual world. In fact, if we consider Srila Prabhupada's activities and the activities he prescribed for his followers, they are in essence the same activities that the maid servants of Srimati Radharani and the other associates of Srimati Radharani perform in the spiritual world. The Mahatmas in the material world are always engaged in chanting the glories of Krishna. And Srimati Radharani and her associates in the spiritual world are always engaged in chanting the glories of Krishna. And another wonderful fact about Srimati Radharani is that she always tries to bring other gopis to Krishna. She wants other gopis to get the chance to serve Krishna and to give pleasure to Krishna. And similarly, the Mahatmas in the material world, they also have the same mood. They want to bring others to Krishna, to engage others in the service of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. So, as we read earlier today, and as we will continue to discuss tomorrow, about the confidential reasons for the descent of Lord Chaitanya, how externally he came to propagate the Sankirtan movement, and internally he came to taste Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. So, not only did Krishna come as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Balaram came as Nityananda, and Srimati Radharani herself came as Gadadhar Pandit. But all of Radha and Krishna's associates also came, and they assumed forms in Chaitanya Lila. And although their features were different, many of the lady associates of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Lila assumed male forms in Chaitanya Lila, but the inner relationships were the same. And the methods of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada has taught us in relation to the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will ultimately help us to develop the inner mood of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, which is the same as the inner mood of the associates of Radha and Krishna. So, Srimati Radharani's best friends in Krishna Lila are Lalita and Vishakha. And Lalita and Vishakha appeared in Chaitanya Lila as Saurabh Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. And they were Lord Chaitanya's most confidential associates in Jagannath Puri. And just as Srimati Radharani felt intense separation from Krishna after Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and then Dwarka, and Srimati Radharani would open her heart to her friends, Lalita and Vishakha. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, in separation from Krishna, used to express his lamentation and to his most confidential friends, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. And then under Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar Goswami were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And in Krishna Leela, they were Srimati Radharani's most intimate maidservants. But even there, we find there is some hierarchy. Like, among the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were the leaders. And as we read in other literatures by the Goswamis which describe Radha and Krishna's associates in Krishna Leela, Rati Manjari, who is Raghunath Das Goswami in Krishna Leela, almost you could say the most intense love for Srimati Radharani. But his goal or her goal was not to serve Srimati Radharani directly, but she always wanted to serve, and the other maidservants also wanted to serve under the guidance of Rupa Manjari, who in Chaitanya Leela is Rupa Goswami. So we find the same principle of parampara. Parampara means literally one after the other. That one takes shelter of a Mahatma. Who has taken shelter of a Mahatma? Who has taken shelter of a Mahatma? Who has taken shelter of Srimati Radharani? So basically what we are doing in ISKCON under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada is the same. We're taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada and those who have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada has taken shelter of his Guru Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj has taken shelter of his Guru Maharaj, and ultimately Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Swarup Damodar Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, or in other words, Rupa Manjari and Lalita and Vishakha and Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. So we don't have to make an artificial effort to cultivate the mood of the gopis. Of course, at a certain mature stage of devotional service, one may naturally develop such a mood internally. But Srila Prabhupada said, and Srila Prabhupada, I mean, there are so many features to Srila Prabhupada's genius, but one feature was his ability to express a very profound truth in a very brief statement of simple words. And Srila Prabhupada said that the way to develop the love of the gopis for Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So you might think, what is the connection? But actually the connection is there. That Radharani and her associates are ready to sacrifice anything and everything for the pleasure of Krishna, to give Krishna the greatest pleasure. And the greatest pleasure that we can give to Krishna, at least in the material world, is to bring more souls to him. And it sounds easy, but it's not so easy. It's not so easy at all. It's actually very difficult. And there's so much opposition from the material nature, from society, from maybe even from family, that we have a very strong tendency to compromise. Because we don't want to lose our position in society, we don't want to upset our family members, we don't want to do anything that will have a negative effect on our material lives. And that was not the mood of the gopis. The mood of the gopis was they were ready to leave everything to please Krishna. Their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, husbands, babies, everything. So, of course, we're not recommending that you should do the same, necessarily. And Lord Chaitanya did teach that one can remain in one's position and be Krishna conscious. But the point I'm making is the gopis were ready to sacrifice everything for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. And we should be developing the same mood. And to actually preach effectively, one has to have that mood. One has to have that mood. Because if one is too concerned about one's material position in life, he won't want to take the risk. And because the preacher takes the risk, he is especially recognized by the Lord, and especially blessed by the Lord. So the duty of the spiritual master is to engage the disciple in such a way that the disciple can get the most mercy from Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada knew that by us engaging in spreading Krishna consciousness, we would get the most mercy from Krishna and the associates of Krishna. And like I said, it's not so easy. I'll tell one story from Madras. It's not a good one because I'm using myself as an example, which isn't really very becoming, but it is. Well, it's Prabhupada's mercy. I mean, ultimately, it's Prabhupada's mercy. Anyway, I was the first devotee from ISKCON to go to Madras in 1971. And in Madras, probably in South India in general, but Madras was the first place I visited in South India, there are many Shaivites and Vaishnavites. And they have a long history of debate. And then there are many impersonalists who think, oh, how silly, you know, the Vaishnavites are arguing that Vishnu is supreme and the Shaivites are arguing that Shiva is supreme. How silly. Actually, God has no form. He just comes in the form of Shiva or Vishnu or Durga. So why all this petty argument? So they were sort of gyanis. I'm not real gyanis, but sort of gyanis. And they really thought they were superior both to the Vaishnavites and to the Shaivites. So I came into Madras and I began to preach the same way I had heard Srila Prabhupada preach everywhere. And, you know, we had programs and we enrolled life members. Srila Prabhupada was very anxious for us to enroll life members, mainly as a way of
distributing his books to them and also giving them the Association of Devotees. And after a few weeks, I found that there was an undercurrent of protest against the way I was preaching. And even people who I thought were friends, I suppose in their own way, they actually were friends, but they began to advise me that you should not criticize others. You know, whatever you want to say positively about what you're doing and about Krishna consciousness, you say it, but don't say anything negative about anyone else or any other process or anything else. So I thought about it. I was staying with one man. I stayed at different places over the 6 or 8 weeks I was there, but one of the men I stayed with gave the example of the Gaudiya Mutt. But the Gaudiya Mutt was, you know, was quite well established in Madras. And, you know, he said that every year so many thousands of people go there for Janmashtami, and they don't criticize anyone. So, you know, why can't you be like them? So I thought about it, you know. But I was thinking, is that really what we're meant to be? Are we meant to be like the Gaudiya Mutt? And then the brother of the first man who said he would arrange the program, I forget his name, he was a movie producer. Anyway, his brother was named Mr. Ratnamayer. And he had his own organization called Astika Samaj. And at first, he said he would arrange Prabhupada's program, but in the end, he didn't. Anyway, his brother was even, I think, more favorable. But he said the same thing, you know, don't criticize others. You know, just say whatever you want in a positive way about Krishna consciousness. So I was getting the same thing from all sides. And I thought, maybe, you know, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something. So I wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and I thought, there are too many signs that I'm doing something wrong. So one Saturday, I had an appointment with an industrialist, and I decided that I'm not going to get into any controversy or debate. I'm just going to, you know, show the pictures of our activities, show the books, tell them about Krishna consciousness, and not make any comments about anything else. So I went to the man's office. He had like a large compound, and his office was in the same compound as his residence. So I showed the pictures, showed the books, took out the life membership form, asked him to become the life member, and he said, what about Shankaracharya? You said so many things. Why haven't you said anything about Shankaracharya? He's one of the great acharyas of India. So I said, yes, he's one of the great acharyas of India. He said, well, why don't you say more about him? You haven't said anything about him. So I thought, oh boy. So I tried to be very tactful and not get into an argument, but he kept provoking me, you know, he kept probing more and more. So finally he said, okay, I'll just explain who Shankaracharya is, that he's the incarnation of Lord Shiva who came to bewilder the atheists and, you know, drive Buddhism out of India, but to drive Buddhism out of India, he had to preach a false interpretation of the Vedas. So he kept arguing more and more. I even took out the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We didn't have the Chaitanya Charitamrita then. I showed the verse, all the verses, and, you know, you know, he was, you know, becoming more adamant in his position, and I remained adamant in my position. And then finally I decided, well, okay, I've wasted enough time here. So I started to put away all the pictures, put away all the books, close my briefcase, and I said, well, it was nice meeting you. So, okay, he escorted me to the door, and then he said, before you leave, I want to show you my temple room. I said, oh no, there's going to be a Shiva Linga, and he's going to want me to offer my obeisances, and if I don't offer my obeisances, he's going to become offended. He said, really, I insist, I want you to come to see my temple room. Okay. So I went to see his temple room. And it was quite big. I mean, sometimes they just have like a closet where they have like a little altar, you know, they sit on the floor and a little mat. He had a big room. And the base, it was like a big marble altar, and the base of the altar was like, it was like, you know, 3 feet high or more. And on top of the base of the altar were these big marble Radha Krishna deities. So I was shocked. And it was very hard to find Radha Krishna. In fact, I think they were the only ones I saw. There were a couple of deities of Krishna, but it was very hard to find deities of Radha and Krishna in Madras. Most of the Vaishnava temples were Vishnu. So I was delighted, and you know, I offered my obeisances and I offered prayers. And then I looked at the man, and he said, Swamiji, myself and my family and all of my ancestors were devotees of Radha and Krishna. He said, actually, I was just testing you. So then he took me back to his office, back to his desk, wrote out the whole, you know, whole amount in one check, and that was that. So then I started thinking, well, maybe I'm not doing the wrong thing. And then I came back to the place where I was staying in Egmore, yeah. And there was a letter from Srila Prabhupada. So I was very excited. I opened the letter, and right in front of my eyes, Srila Prabhupada's words sort of like jumped out of the page. And Srila Prabhupada had written that my Guru Maharaj never compromised. Similarly, I shall never compromise. And similarly, you also should never compromise. Srila Prabhupada said, the fact is, I am the only one in India who is openly criticizing not only impersonalism and demigod worship, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, you know, we must declare it boldly that you cannot have any peace or happiness unless you surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And that was Srila Prabhupada's message. And for his service, he is, what can I say? I mean, he is the most dear servant of Radha and Krishna. I mean, Srimati Radharani has no other desire than the pleasure of Krishna. And who has given Krishna more pleasure, within the material world at least, than Srila Prabhupada? And therefore, he has given the greatest pleasure to Srimati Radharani. And therefore, Srimati Radharani would do anything
for Śrīla Prabhupāda. And therefore, if we do some little service to Śrīla Prabhupāda, and his heart is so magnanimous, even if we do a little service, he takes it as a big service, he'll be very pleased. And then because we've pleased Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīmatī Radharāṇī will be pleased. So, I'll just comment on one other point in the purport, which will also accommodate a little story about Śrīmatī Radharāṇī.
Bhajanti Ananya Manaso, that the great soul is engaged in the service of Krishna without any deviation. So Śrīla Prabhupāda is elaborating on Bhajanti Ananya Manaso to say that he doesn't deviate his mind from Krishna for anything or to anything, even other incarnations of Krishna. Śrī Śrī Kishore Kishore Ki Jai, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. So the great soul is not attracted even to any other feature of Krishna, what to speak of any demigod or human being. So there's one story which is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's discussed more elaborately in other books of the Goswamis, where Lord Krishna was enjoying pastimes with the gopis, and then he disappeared. He left them. And the gopis were searching all over Govardhan. The pastime took place at Govardhan Hill. So the gopis were looking all over for Krishna. And Krishna, as a joke, assumed the form of Lord Narayan with four arms holding the four symbols of lotus, conch, disc, and club. So when the gopis were wandering all around Govardhan Hill in search for Krishna, they came across Lord Narayan. And they offered namaskar, Lord Narayan. We are looking for Lord Krishna. Have you seen him? They weren't interested in Lord Narayan. They only wanted Lord Krishna. So, he's not helping us find Krishna. They left him behind. Then Śrīmatī Radharāṇī came in front of Lord Narayan, namaskar. And Lord Krishna was so attracted by the pure love of Śrīmatī Radharāṇī that he could not maintain his form of Lord Narayan, but he had to drop his two extra hands and resume his original form as Krishna. So that is the power of Śrīmatī Radharāṇī's love, that Krishna cannot... Of course, this is transcendental, and whenever Śrīla Prabhupāda spoke on Radhāṣṭamī, he would discuss elaborately how the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are not material, and how the attraction between Radha and Krishna is not material, and how Sukadeva Goswami, who was a lifelong brahmachari, he recited the pastimes, and he would not recite them if they were material. And Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi, and he would hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He would not have listened to them if they were not spiritual. And so many proofs. And of course, the main one is that Krishna is the origin of everything. So it's like the example that a sweet merchant is not attracted by sweets. So, Krishna's created the whole material world. He's not going to be attracted by it. So we should always remember that the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna are completely transcendental. But transcendentally, Krishna cannot control himself in the presence of Srimati Radharani, and therefore he couldn't maintain his four-armed form as Lord Narayan. And I'll tell one other story, which I thought of in the morning. We'll continue tomorrow. In the morning we'll probably discuss more pastimes, and then maybe in the evening again a more general lecture. But we were discussing how, well, anyway, not exactly sure what we were discussing, because I came a little late, and when I came in I thought they were discussing something, but I'm not sure. But whether they were or not, we'll say it now. That Lord Krishna sometimes... Okay, I'll tell another story to ease our way into the next one. The main verse that we were discussing in the class today, Yasomati Nanda and Prabhu and Maharaj, was that originally Krishna separated himself into Radha and Krishna. And then the two, Radha and Krishna, combined together again and became Lord Chaitanya. So when we were in Calcutta, our landlord was a Bengali gentleman named Mr. Roy. And Mr. Roy met a devotee there named Achyutananda. And Mr. Roy had his own theories, as many people do. And he told his theory to Achyutananda. And his theory was that Lord Chaitanya is the supreme, he is the original, that Radha and Krishna come from Lord Chaitanya, and that Lord Chaitanya is more beautiful and greater than Radha and Krishna. So Achyutananda was a little confused, so he approached Srila Prabhupada. Oh yes, and Mr. Rai had said that Lord Chaitanya is better than Radha and Krishna, just like Rasgulla is better than milk and sugar. So quite a good example in a way. So Achyutananda, you know, approached Srila Prabhupada, a few of us were also there in the room, and he told him about the discussion with the landlord. And then he asked, well, you know, who is the original? And Srila Prabhupada replied that Radha and Krishna come first. And he said the same example. First, the milk and sugar exist separately, and then they combine together to form the rasgulla. And then Achyutananda asked, well, you know, who is greater? So Srila Prabhupada paused for a moment, and then he said, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the greatest. And then he pointed to a picture on the wall that had Srimati Radharani on a raised platform, and Lord Krishna was sort of near her feet, and we presume that Lord Krishna was trying to please Srimati Radharani or pacify Srimati Radharani so that she would give up her man and accept him. So Srila Prabhupada said, Srimati Radharani is the greatest. And then he said, the devotee is the greatest. And therefore Krishna becomes the servant of the devotee. So sometimes Srimati Radharani manifests a type of transcendental jealousy, which is not like the jealousy of the material world. In the material world, jealous anger usually is an attempt by the jealous person to sort of gain control of the situation or gain the upper hand in the relationship with the other person. But Srimati Radharani's jealous anger or man exists simply to give pleasure to Krishna. But Krishna also takes pleasure in trying to remove Srimati Radharani's jealous anger. So there is one great devotee of Krishna named Jayadev Goswami who lived in Srinavadvip Dham several hundred years before Lord Chaitanya appeared. And he wrote a poem called Gita Govinda that describes the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And what he would do, and other of the Goswamis also would do, is he would actually see the pastimes within his heart. And then he would record what was being manifest to him within his heart. And then the poem became accepted as authoritative scripture. So he was writing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Rasa-lila, and Srimati Radharani was manifesting her jealous anger, and Lord Krishna wanted to pacify her. So in his heart, in the pastime, he saw that Lord Krishna was putting his head at Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, and he could not accept it. He could not accept it. That Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the ruler of the universe, was placing his head at Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So he couldn't write. He was having a debate within his mind. Can this be true or not? I guess like his intelligence and his heart, there was some conflict. He couldn't decide. So he thought, I can't write this. He started, but he couldn't continue. So he closed the book, and he left it in the care of his wife, Padma, and he went for his bath in the Ganges. So, very soon thereafter, Jayadev came back, and he said, Padma, please bring me my book. So Padma brought his book, and he took up the pen, and he completed the verse. And then he went again. Then, a little while later, the original Jayadev came back, and his wife said, you've come back so soon? You left, then you came back, and then you left again, and now you're back again so soon? And Jayadev said, I never came back. No, you came back. I saw you. No, I never came back. Yes, you came back. You said, Padma, bring me my book. I want to write something in my book. So I brought the book, and you wrote something, and you left. So then Jayadev said, well, bring my book. I will see. So he looked into his book and he saw the verse that was actually written or completed by Sri Krishna himself. And the verse was Smarala Garana, which means that I am burning and the poison of separation, Lord Krishna is telling Srimati Radharani. Mama Shirasi Mandanam. Please decorate my head with your lotus feet. That was the essence of the verse. And I will consider that to be your greatest favor. So then Jayadev realized that Krishna himself had come and completed the verse. Then he offered his obeisances to Padma and he said, Padma, you're so fortunate. You saw Krishna himself. I could not see Krishna. You saw Krishna. And Padma said, I'm so unfortunate. I saw Krishna, but I didn't know it was Krishna. And thus they were overwhelmed with different types of ecstasy. And there's a very beautiful verse by Raghunath Das Goswami that he prays to see Lord Krishna's hair decorated by the red, I don't know what you call it in Hindi, that the ladies put on their feet. No. That's it. Atar. In Sanskrit, at least in our discussions, we said atar, but I wasn't sure if that was current. Atar. And he prays that he can see the beautiful face of Krishna. Krishna is always beautiful. And when he comes home from the pasturing grounds with the cows, the calves, and they kick up the dust, and his face and his hair are smeared with dust, he looks more beautiful. But Srila Raghunath Das Goswami prays that when, in the form of Rati Manjari, will he see Krishna's face and hair beautified by the most gorgeous of all ornaments, and that is the red paint from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And he considers that will be the perfection of his meditation. So Lord Krishna, he takes pleasure in serving his devotees and worshiping his devotees. Sometimes ignorant people who they think, oh, Shiva's the supreme, because when Ram went to Rameshwaram, he worshipped the Shiva Lingam. So Lord Shiva's the supreme. But no. The Lord takes pleasure in worshipping the devotee and serving the devotee. Just like Krishna carries Nanda Maharaj's shoes. Doesn't mean that Nanda Maharaj is the supreme, but Krishna he takes pleasure in being subordinate to his devotees. Similarly, in Dwarka, Lord Krishna washed the feet of Sudama Vipra. Doesn't mean that Sudama Vipra is the supreme, but Krishna likes to worship his devotees. Krishna drove the chariot of Arjuna. Doesn't mean that Arjuna is the supreme, but Krishna likes to serve the devotee. And Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee, and therefore Krishna likes to serve her the most and to become the most subordinate to her and the most obedient to her. And therefore, once a year on Radhastami, we are allowed to see the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, which are otherwise the exclusive property of Lord Sri Krishna's head. Sri Sri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.